This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week. We begin this time with Suspense, their story from February 15th, 1945, titled Sell Me Your Life. After that, it's The Six Shooter and A Friend in Need, his episode from January 3rd, 1954.
Now, Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, Sell Me Your Life, starring Lee Bowman. Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you Suspense. This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, who tonight from Hollywood bring you as star Mr. Lee Bowman, who is currently being co-starred with Rita Hayworth and Janet Blair in the Columbia Technicolor musical Tonight and Every Night. He appears this evening as a rather embittered young man whose life really began in spite of himself at the very moment when he had planned to take leave of it. And so with Sell Me Your Life and with the performance of Lee Bowman as Joe Bland, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
All right, quiet down. I want to hear this guy's story. Go ahead, Bland.
No. Why waste any more time?
Because I'm going to hear your version of what happened. I'm going to hear it now.
Listen, Lieutenant. Less than 2 hours ago, I was ready to kill myself. You think I'm going to spend any time now trying to convince you I ought to live? What difference does it make? Come on, let's get out of here.
Let's have the story.
I don't get it. You're not going to believe any part of it, and you know it. So far as you're concerned, I'm already in the chair.
We'll see. Go on with the story.
Do you believe that tonight I was standing on top of the railing of the Grand Street Bridge ready to jump? Do you? No. No, of course you don't.
All right, keep going. Let's hear it all.
Well, that's where I was. And that's what I was about to do. Do you know how it feels, Lieutenant? Standing there, then all of a sudden making your decision? I didn't worry too much about being seen. It was too late at night. And the mist was too heavy. I looked down at the black water. Then I closed my eyes. I caught my breath. And then the headlights hit me. And the next second, I knew the driver had seen me. I heard the car stop and the door open. I couldn't move. I couldn't jump on over and I couldn't climb back down. I just stood there and listened to the footsteps come toward me. And stop.
What do you think you're doing?
A woman. Footsteps should have told me that, but they didn't.
I wonder if you know how silly you look pitched up there.
I got my first good look at her then. Dark hair, about 30, and, yeah, a knockout.
Come on. Come on down.
Why don't you get back in your car and go on about your business?
I'm waiting for you to come on down, or else jump over.
You?
That's right. A gesture as big as that deserves an audience. I'll see that you have one. Well, I'm waiting. Ah, that's more like it.
Okay. The place is yours.
No, no, wait. Don't you understand? I want to help you.
Why? What difference does it make to you?
Here, let's get in the car.
There's nothing you or anybody else can do. Can't you see?
Oh, you're tired, aren't you? How long have you been walking?
I don't know. Hours, I guess.
Then come on. At least I can give you a lift to your next bridge.
I can't explain it, but I guess I just didn't have much fight left in me. Because there I was, driving on off the bridge. And all of a sudden, I found myself spilling the whole thing. I told her how a certain pal of mine juggled the company books, my books as well as his, about how he could never admit I was innocent because he dropped over dead this morning, about how the auditors would be through by tomorrow and I'd be up for embezzlement. Yeah, I can see by your face. You think that old corny story, but it's true. Well, I told her about it, about how that would put me away for good because it would make my third conviction. Then I told her, and I knew she wouldn't believe that either, but I told her just the same. I was innocent of those previous crimes, as innocent as I was of this one.
Innocent of all of them, is that right?
Yes. Well, why don't you let me out here? Thanks very much for
everything. Wait, that money they think you took. Wouldn't it help if you could somehow make it good?
Sure. All I gotta do is walk in tomorrow morning and plank down $1,000.
Only $1,000?
Only $1,000. And I've got $4.62 in my pocket.
There's someone I want you to meet.
What? Who?
Your future employer, I hope. His name is Andrew Bodine.
Bodine? The banker?
Yes. You see, I'm Mrs. Bodine.
It won't work.
Well, you've no reason to say that. My husband has helped hundreds of people.
It can't work. The breaks I've been getting will go right on, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. My life's over, I tell you. It's spent.
No, not yet. It isn't. And if you don't want it, I'll take it. Oh, please. For just 1 hour, sell me your life. What have you got to lose?
She took me into the Bodine place, and we came straight to the library here. That's where Mr. Bodine would be, she said. But then, when she opened the door...
Oh.
I saw a young-looking guy. He was over there, working at the desk.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Faraday. It was just that I expected my husband.
Oh, another one of those conferences, I'm afraid. he was called away only a few moments ago.
Oh, that's unfortunate. This is Mr. Faraday, my husband's secretary.
Glad to know you.
Well, thank you. I don't believe I heard your name,
Mr. If you don't mind, Mr. Faraday, I wonder if you'd excuse us.
Why, certainly. My work's pretty well cleared up anyway. Good night, Mrs. Bodine.
Good night. You see, the fact that my husband isn't here right now isn't really going to matter too much. I'm appealing to you for help.
Appealing to me for help?
Yes. During the time you've been under sentence, you've naturally had considerable contact with, well, criminals. I want you to identify just such a person.
I guess I don't get what you...
My husband's life is in danger. I'm sure of it.
In danger? But from what?
No, I shan't tell you whom I suspect. I want you to find that out. I want you to give me proof. Most important, I want you to give my husband protection.
How?
By watching him, by observing everyone who comes in contact with him. Whether casually or regularly. Oh, yes, would you just step over there to the desk? No, behind it. Now, that first drawer on the left.
This one?
Yes, that's it. Open it.
Why, it's filled full of bills, $100 bills.
Mm-hmm. My husband calls it his trust fund. It's always there to help those he feels deserve help. Cut off 10 of them. Please, go on.
Why, I can't do that.
Oh, it isn't charity. In your case, it's salary. And it will settle up that difficulty at your office, now won't it? If it doesn't, we can always add to it.
But you don't know anything about me. You don't even know what
I'm... coming to that. You'll probably start work for us tomorrow, and... Oh, yes, here's a pad. If you'll just jot down where we can reach you. Do you mind?
No, of course not. It's the Rex Hotel. They've got a payphone in the lobby. I put the number down there.
Good. That should do it.
Well, you're forgetting something, aren't you?
Forgetting something?
My name. I put it down, too. It's Bland. Joe Bland.
Well, I'm happy to know you, Joe. Haven't you forgotten something?
Me? No. What?
$1,000.
You're a wonderful person, Mrs. Bodine. I wish I knew how to thank you.
I'll tell you. Just stay alive.
I took the slow way home tonight because, well, whether you believe it or not, Vance, there was a lot of thinking I wanted to do. Mostly about that woman I'd met. And while I was climbing upstairs to my room, I realized what she'd really done. All because of her, I'd sort of been born again. I let myself into my room and switched on the overhead light.
All right, Joe. Just put your hands up.
There you were, Vance. Sitting in a chair across the room. I'd never seen you before.
That's it. Now just keep them up. I'm Vance, police headquarters. Now stand still while I check you over.
The office. I didn't think they'd get to that till tomorrow.
That's so. Mm-hmm. Here we are. $1,000. Serial number G6. That's it. All right, where's the rest?
The rest? Well, that's all there is.
It is, huh? That's what I thought. Took you long enough to get here.
Now, listen, I was going to turn that over to the company in the morning.
The company? What company?
Well, my company.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just tell me where you put the gun.
The gun?
You hid that too, huh?
Now, wait a minute. I never had any gun. What is this? I don't know what
you're... I guess you are as dumb as you act. Anybody who'd leave his name, address, and phone number on his victim's desk can't be very bright. They just posted a reward for the guy who robbed and then murdered Andrew Bodine. Looks like I'm the guy who's going to collect it.
What? Andrew Bodine murdered?
As if you didn't know, sweetheart. Come on, we're going back out there.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you a star, Mr. Lee Bowman, whom you have heard in the first act of Sell Me Your Life by Emil C. Tepperman. Tonight's tale of suspense.
This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Elsa Maxwell is recognized internationally as an authority on gracious living. You will be interested in something she said the other day about wine and wartime food rationing. Listen.
I find that people who know one simple secret of serving delicious meals aren't bothered much by food rationing. That secret is to enjoy good Roma wine with food. For instance, I recently had dinner with some old friends. The main dish was kidney bean casserole. And to give this simple food a delightful party flavor, my hostess served cool Roma California Burgundy. Everyone remarked about its wonderful bouquet and aroma, and about the way that good Roma Burgundy added enjoyment to our plain meal. Such added enjoyment is one of the reasons why more and more people serve delightful Roma wine.
That's a grand suggestion from Elsa Maxwell. So why not try Roma California Burgundy with your dinner tomorrow night? You'll enjoy its tart piquancy, its fruity, robust taste, the happy result of selecting luscious wine grapes from California's choicest vineyards, guided to perfection by the ancient wine skill of Roma's famed wineries. Good Roma wines never vary. They're always enjoyable, yet cost only pennies a glass. Remember, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. R-O-M-A. Roma Wines.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Lee Bowman as Joe Bland, who has been saved from death by suicide only to face a murder charge. A situation well calculated to keep you in suspense.
We came back here to the Bodine's library. The room was packed, loaded with police and reporters. It was full of Andrew Bodine, too. He was stretched out behind the desk, covered with a sheet.
Hey, Brian, look over this way, right into the camera. That's it.
About this guy's fingerprints, Lieutenant. We got him off his police record.
Yeah?
They matched the prints on the desk drawer, all right. Where the money was, I mean.
I know. He admits taking the money, 1,000 of it. Says Mrs. Bodine told him to take it.
Anything else?
Yeah, he admits he needed the dough. Says he's about to be stuck on an embezzlement charge.
Has he admitted shooting Lincoln yet? Looks like you... Oh, here's that that secretary.
Oh, Faraday, we've been waiting for you.
Well, I'm very sorry, Lieutenant, but I was with Mrs. Bodine. She's rather hard hit.
Yeah? Well, here's the guy. Can you identify him?
Well, I should be able to. It was less than an hour ago that I saw him.
Here?
Yes, in this room. He was with Mr. Bodine.
Mr. Bodine? Well, that's a
dirty... Quiet. You'll have your chance. Go on, Faraday.
Well, Mr. Bodine was talking with him, trying to work out some way to help him.
Why, you...
Shh. You probably know of the old man's habit of picking up, bums, giving them money, trying to get them work. I'd want him time and time again.
Yeah, we know about that. Just go on with the story.
Yeah, just go on with your lies.
I told you to keep still.
What for? So we can build up that phony story? Listen, Vance, I want to see Mrs. Bodine. She was with me all the time. I told you that. She can stop this whole thing in 2 minutes. She can if Faraday here hasn't done something to her.
Why, this fellow must be insane.
I want to see Mrs. Bodine. Now.
She's in no condition to be disturbed. Furthermore, she has no connection whatever with this case.
Oh, no?
Let me give you some advice, Bland. Keep your mouth shut until I tell you to talk.
Well, the old man, Mr. Bodine, asked me to leave them alone. So I went right to my room down the hall. There was nothing else I could do.
Then?
Well, it must have been about 15 minutes that I heard a shot. I rushed in here and there was Mr. Bodine. He was dead.
What about Bland?
Gone.
Well, that's pretty fast. Since you were only down the hall, you'd have seen him leave, wouldn't you?
Well, not if he left by that window there, and that's just what he did. It was wide open, just as it is now, sir.
No sign of the gun, huh?
No, nor the money. Almost $21,000 missing.
Uh-huh. You don't fool around, do you, Joe? You know something? You're going to tell me where the rest of that dough is.
You can find that out from Faraday.
You're also going to tell me about that gun.
You can also find that out from Faraday. Can't you see it? He's the killer.
You can forget that right now. You're dead, Bland. You haven't a chance. You haven't any kind of a case at all.
Well, get Mrs. Bodine in here. You'll see what kind of a case I have. You'll see what kind of a case he's got, too. I've had enough of this.
Hey, you.
I'll get her myself.
Hey, come back here. You're not going anywhere.
Get your hands off me. I tell you, I'm going to find this.
Mrs. Bodine. Oh, dear. Oh, Mrs. Bodine, I didn't want you to be disturbed. Now, please, you'd better go back to your room at once.
It's all right, Mr. Faraday. I kept hearing my name called.
I'm Lieutenant Vance, Mrs. Bodine. This man here beside me, do you happen to know who he is?
This man?
Yeah, me.
I've never seen him before in my life.
She'd never seen me before in her life. Well, that did it, Vance. After that, I was with you, sitting between you and your pal Tannen in a police car bound for headquarters, not even hearing those stupid cars.
Car 64, Raymond, go to the corner of Hill and 20th, 229, that is all.
Doing some thinking, are you, Bland? Well, I'm afraid it's a little too late.
I was doing some thinking. I wasn't going to let it be too late. I couldn't let it be too late.
How about it, kid? Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I'd like a cigarette.
Give him a cigarette, Tannen.
Me? I gotta watch the road.
Okay, but keep your eye on him, too.
Hey, what are you?
Whoa. My gun, Tannen!
Hey, look out! Get your foot off that, Bland! You'll wreck us!
He's after my gun! Get him, Tannen!
I can't!
Okay, Tannen. Just pull the car to a stop, and don't reach for your gun. Because I'm taking it. Now, I might need to.
You're a jerk, Bland. This'll never work.
I'll try anything. Even suicide. Didn't you know? I'll stay there. Till I get...
Vance, out!
Okay. Now you come out. No. Don't touch the keys. Just come out.
It'll never work. You'll be shot down on sight.
Not for a while, baby. Not in a police car.
Car 82. Reuben and Malone. Check on the 13. 1000 block forest, that is all. Attention all cars. Joe Bland, accused slayer, has just stolen police car 46.
Then I heard it, over the car radio.
This man must be apprehended. He is desperate. Shoot to kill. That is all. Attention all cars. Report from police car 1-3. Bland has just been sighted passing Serrano Street. Speeding northward on Fountain. All cars proceed toward northern end Fountain. Intercept. That is all. Now crossing Selmer and Riverdale. Car 19, 62. Form roadblock next intersection. Cars 20, 13. Cut off rear escape. Attention, attention. Bland just sighted abandoning car. Running east on Selmer. Stop him. This man must not escape.
And somehow, some way, by running up alleys, by hitching rides, I got back to the Bodine place. The library window, the one they'd said I'd used to escape, was still open. I climbed into the room that way. My luck still held.
Blonde complexion.
Faraday was there, fiddling with papers at the desk.
He is armed,
listening to the radio.
A report during the past 5 minutes.
Okay, turn it off.
Police have picked up Bland's trail and are closing in on
him. I said turn it off.
Yet all civilians are urged to be on the...
Now, stay where you are.
Why, you... I'll call the police.
Put that down. You dial one number and I'll blow your head off.
Well, it doesn't matter. You heard what they said. The police have picked up your trail. They'll be here any minute.
This won't take long.
What? What are you going to do?
Give you the best break you ever had. The gun you used to kill Bodine. Also the $20,000. I'm taking them off your hands.
Why, you're not only a killer. You're a lunatic.
I told you I was giving you a break. No, not because I like you. It's because I hate somebody else more than I hate you. You're just like me. A fall guy. A sucker. A pigeon.
Huh? What do you mean?
Do you really think she's going to split with you? Share the old man's will and insurance money? Why should she? You see, why should she? Why shouldn't she have it all?
I don't get your point.
Why shouldn't she turn you over, too? See where that would put her? Then there'd just be her.
I don't have to listen to this. You're...
Figure it out. Did she have anything whatever to do with murdering that man? Anything except working on how you'd be the guy who'd do it the minute I left here tonight?
Well, I... How did you know? Did Lenore...
Lenore, is it?
Oh.
Suppose you were nailed by the cops. Would Lenore be loyal to you?
I
didn't her to be loyal to anybody.
I...
If Lenore Bodine had a choice between being sole owner of $1 million and sticking her neck out with yours, what do you honestly think she'd do? All right. Where's the money?
I don't know what to do.
Where is it? Okay. There they are, the cops. Are they going to find that money on you or her? You've got less than a minute, Faraday.
Oh.
What's it going to be?
I...
Stop! Where are you going?
To get the money. It's in my room.
Just a minute. You're staying here, my friend.
Lenore.
Toss your gun on the floor, Mr. Bland. I think we can get along with mine.
Okay. But you're a couple of seconds too late. You see, I can tell the cops where to find that dough.
Oh, no, you won't tell the cops anything. You won't be able to talk. You're an escaped murderer, and I killed you. I shot you in self-defense.
Too late.
Stand over there.
You're too late. They're already here, and they'll know it wasn't self-defense.
Guarded that window there. Close it.
Don't move. If she kills me, you're as good as dead, because you'll take the rap alone. She'll tell the cops where to find that dough and...
Wait. Wait, Lenore, wait.
Get away from him. No. Get away, I'm going to shoot.
No, you'll tell the police. You'll sell me out.
Oh, you fool. Why didn't you listen to him? Nobody's going to tell the police. Nobody's... Get away from him! Get away from him, I tell you!
I won't let you sell me out. I'll kill you first.
Get away from him!
I'll kill
Stop
you.
It!
I'll kill
shoot.
You!
I'll shoot! I killed him. I killed him.
All right,
I
Bland.
Richard. I killed him.
Mrs. Bodine.
I killed him.
You've got the gun.
Yes, I've got the gun. But I was too late. I tried to get it out of his hand before he shot Faraday. But I was too late.
No, that's not true, Vance.
Don't even budge. All right, the rest of you men, come on in. This guy Bland's killed another one.
There you are, Vance. That's the story. And like I said, you don't believe it.
Doesn't matter anyway. I can't win. What's the use of trying? Come on. Let's go on back to headquarters.
And, Lieutenant, please see that he stays in the car this time.
Don't worry, Mrs. Bodine. He won't be back here again. You all set, Tannen?
Yeah. Want me to bring this gun along?
Yeah, Exhibit A. Careful you don't smudge any of the prints on it.
Right. Okay, boy.
Prints.
All right.
Prints. Fingerprints.
Huh?
Yeah, fingerprints on that gun. Well, that's it, Vance. My prints aren't on it. They never were on it. Only hers. Because she's the only one who ever used it.
That's not true.
Prints. No fingerprints on a gun. No fingerprints on... Yeah. The window. That window over there, Vance. The one you said I opened. Listen. The catch on that window, it doesn't have my fingerprints. It only has Faraday's. Or yours, Mrs. Bodine.
Oh, he's lying. Don't listen to him.
Yeah? Look, Bland, so it doesn't have your fingerprints on it. Maybe you wore gloves, huh?
If I had, I wouldn't have left prints on that desk drawer, Vance. That's the drawer where the money was. And incidentally, you'll find that dough in Faraday's room. How about it, Lieutenant? Convinced?
I rather think I am. What about you, Mrs. Bodine? Are you convinced?
Yes, I suppose I am. Well, it looks as though Mr. Bland will have company on his trip to headquarters. Ready?
I'm afraid I won't have the pleasure of joining you. Thanks very much anyway.
Haven't you forgotten something, Mr. Bland? It was a little matter of embezzlement, I believe. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to help you on that.
Oh, you did all right. That $5,000 reward you posted... I think I've won it, don't you?
Now, wait a minute.
The guy's got a point, Mrs. Bodine.
The way I see it, that reward ought to take care of the embezzlement charge with quite a nice sum left over. Looks like you got gypped, Lenore. You asked me to sell you a washed-up life. I think you'll pay for it with your own.
And so closes Sell Me Your Life, starring Lee Bowman. Tonight's study in Suspense. Suspense is produced, edited, and directed by William Spear.
And now, here's a brief message from that noted authority on smart and pleasurable entertaining, Elsa Maxwell.
Most of the parties I'm giving these days are simple affairs. And when I entertain, I always serve well-chilled Roma California sherry before dinner and later in the evening. You'll find that glorious amber golden Roma sherry is a gracious touch that's sure to get the meal off to a good start and adds to the evening's pleasure. And don't worry about fancy glasses. It's the wine that's important. So be sure it's that good Roma wine. Because Roma wines are so reasonably priced, any family can afford to serve them regularly.
Yes, Roma wines cost only pennies a glass. So enjoy them often. Serve Roma with your everyday meals. Roma wine is delicious, for Roma quality never varies. Remember, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. R-O-M-A, Roma wines. And the next time you use vermouth, either sweet or dry, choose Roma vermouth. Zestful, full-flavored, blended, mellowed, and developed with all the traditional quality winemaking skill of Roma wineries. Yet surprisingly low-priced. Try it soon, will you?
Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Mr. Thomas Mitchell as star of Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Please listen to this. Mail from home can mean the difference between a good soldier and a poor soldier. Between a man who knows why he is fighting and a homesick boy who knows only bitterness and indifference. Write short, frequent letters. Never mind about that great, big, long letter that never seems to get written. And always use V-Mail. It is the surest way to get your letter overseas. V-Mail. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Stroke of Fate and the story of what might have happened if fate had reversed historical facts. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman, who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Yard Canyon, that's what folks called it. Probably there was another name, more official, written down on a map in the territorial capital, but the people around Smoke Falls, they just called it 50 Yard Canyon. You see, it was only 50 yards wide, someplace even narrower, but it was close to 35 miles long, and riding through it was sort of like riding between two giant slabs of granite, all polished and smooth the way a gravestone's fixed up. Except that these slabs were close to half a mile high. Well, anyway, that's what we were coming into, Scar and me, following the trail east to Smoke Falls. We were just getting on toward daybreak, and the sky was kind of an oatmeal gray, heavy, wet, and waiting for the sun to come up to stir some life into it. We rounded a sharp bend, and Scar flared his nostrils and slowed down to a walk. And, what's the matter, boy? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Canyon got a little wider up ahead, and the sides angled up somewhat gentler than usual. I saw some clumps of trees and some mesquite, but it was still too dark to see anything real plain. I got off Scar as fast as I could dive out of the saddle. What the Sam Hill is...
Now, who in the thunder are you shooting at?
I ain't particular, mister.
Well, I am.
Couldn't make him out. He was just a shadow partway up the canyon wall, maybe 30, 40 feet. His gunfire gave me a pretty good notion where to aim. For a couple of minutes, everything was real quiet. Oh, I didn't stand to reason that I'd hit him with that shot. I hadn't. I inched my way across the floor of the canyon. Started up the side. Bullet nicked a rock right about a foot left of my face. He knew where I was, all right. But then I had a pretty good notion of his whereabouts, too. Well, a man's entitled to a lucky hit every once in a while, if he wasn't faking that yell. It seemed like there was only one way to find out.
All right, drop it. Come on, drop it.
Okay. The pistol slid out of his hand. His shirt sleeve was stained pink at the elbow. Twisted around, gave me a squint. Just then the sun swung up over the top of the canyon, spilled over the sides. Art. Hey. Art Hamper.
Who'd you think you were? Holy mackerel, Brit. Well, I'll be doggone. You're just about the last person in the world I'd expect to bump into out here.
Yeah, well, you sure were expecting to bump into something.
Yeah.
What's the trouble, Art? Who are you gunning for?
Somebody's gunning for me.
Huh?
Clyde's dead, Britt.
Clyde? What?
He was shot yesterday morning. Shot in the back.
Well, you know who did it?
I know who the sheriff says did it. Me.
What, he thinks you killed your own brother?
Stepbrother. Clyde and me weren't real kin. we was as close as if we did have the same blood.
Yeah. Well, speaking of blood, Art, that elbow of yours...
Our bullet only grazed me. I'll tie my bandana around it.
No, you better let me give you a hand. Here, I'll tell you. Where'd the sheriff get the idea you had something to do with Clyde being shot?
Well, it's kind of a roundabout story. You see, Pa died a couple of months ago.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that.
I sure.
Here. Yeah, well, that ought to take care of your arm for the time being.
Thanks. Well, in his will, Pa left things equal, half to me and half to Clyde.
Uh-huh.
Folks got the idea that him being my father and not Clyde's, well, they thought I was kind of put out by Clyde's getting the same as me.
But you weren't.
Oh, of course not, Britt. I didn't have no complaint. Clyde was as close to Pa as I ever was. He was entitled to just as much.
Well, how did Clyde happen to get shot, Art?
That's what I don't know. I just don't. I'd give anything in the world if I did.
Well, you said yesterday... That...
Well, in the morning, about 7 o'clock, I was in the barn hitching up the buckboard. I heard somebody at the pump outside. I figured it was Clyde drawing a bucket of water. And then I heard the gun go off. I started for the door, but before I could get there, Clyde stumbled into the barn. He was holding on to his belly, and he fell forward into my arms. That's where he died, Britt, in my arms.
He didn't say anything?
Oh, he tried to talk, but the words just wouldn't come out. He tried to tell me who shot him, but just couldn't. I'll find out, though, Britt. Someday I'll find out, and I'll get even.
I'll take it easy, Art.
Instead of blaming me, why ain't Sheriff Vail looking for the guilty man? Why ain't he going after the real killer?
Well, you're sure the sheriff does blame you?
Well, he arrested me yesterday afternoon.
Oh, I see.
Tried to take me into town, but I gave him the slip. Rode up into the canyon here.
Oh, well, now, you shouldn't have done that, Art. If you're innocent, you'll get a chance to prove it. Running away, that just makes you look guilty.
How could I prove anything dangling from the branch of a tree?
What are you talking about?
He was going to lynch me. George Crump and Sam Bitley and the other fellas were the sheriff, and he wasn't going to do nothing to stop him. He said hanging was better than I deserved. You don't know Sheriff Elbury.
No, he must be new to Smoke Fall.
Well, you don't believe in wasting time with trials and juries. I wouldn't be the first man Vail's let the boys take care of.
I see.
That's why I had to get away. Oh, I knew I couldn't run too far before they'd catch up with me out here in this canyon.
Well, you are kind of boxed in.
Yeah, but I figured a day or so and the fellas had cooled down, listen to reason. Maybe they'd even pick up the real killer's trail by then.
Uh-huh.
I thought you was one of Vail's posse when I heard your horse. That's the reason I fired. I wasn't aiming to kill anybody, understand, Britt? I was just hoping to scare you off.
Well, even so, it sort of seems like to me you stand a good chance of making things worse for yourself the way you've been acting. I'm not saying that a man has to sit tight and let himself get lynched, but it just...
What do you think I ought to do, Britt?
I'm riding into Smoke Falls. We could ride along together. If you give yourself up, that ought to be something in your favor.
Well, I guess you're right. My horse is starting to go lame. I couldn't go much further anyhow, but tell you the truth, Britt, I'm scared.
You're scared?
Well, they had a rope. George Crump was carrying it when the sheriff arrested me. And the way the fellas looked, their eyes half closed and their faces red, sort of like they had a fever. I ain't never been a coward, Britt, but I was scared.
Well, like you said, they'd probably cool off by now.
Well, if there was some way I could just be sure. Britt, maybe if you was to talk to them first.
Talk to them?
Well, before I give myself up, they must be following me. You're bound to run into them on your way into town.
Well, I suppose so,
but... they'd listen to you. They respect you, and they'd have to listen. Even Sheriff Vail must have heard about the six-shooter. You could tell him that I never had nothing against Clyde. You knew he was always friendly, even when we was kids.
Sure.
If you'd make the sheriff understand and the boys with him, well, then I'd feel better about going back into town. Britt, you ride on ahead. They can't be more than an hour or so away. Tell him I'll give myself up. Tell him to wait for me at Squirrel Rock. You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, tell him... I'll meet him there at noon.
I don't know, Art.
You don't think I'd run out on you, Britt? You don't think I'd do a thing like that?
No, but I...
Well, all right, then. Squirrel Rock at noon. That'll give my pony time to rest up.
Well,
afterwards, I'll... after I'm all straightened out with the sheriff, we'll, Well, we'll find out who killed Clyde. You'll help me find out, won't you?
I'll help if I can, all right?
Thanks, Britt.
There's just one thing, though.
Yeah.
Now, suppose I don't meet up with the posse.
Well, you couldn't very well miss them here in the canyon.
No, maybe they've turned around. Maybe they've gone back.
Well, in any case, I'll be at Squirrel Rock at noon. If the posse ain't there, you wait for me just the same. I'll go into Smoke Falls with you.
All right, Art. All right. I guess you know what you're doing. All right. I'll be seeing you. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning when I passed Squirrel Rock. Not much later when I met up with the posse. Wasn't much of a posse, though, just three men. Pulling the lead, gave his pinto the spur and trot up ahead of the other two. He's a good-sized man, big bone, solid, with a tangle of red hair and splotches of freckles across his face. And the way he wore his revolvers and rested his hand against the butt of one of them, you could tell who he was, too. Even if you didn't happen to notice the star on his breast.
Howdy.
Morning.
I'm Sheriff Beale from Smoke Falls.
Yeah, I've been expecting to run into you, Sheriff.
Oh?
My name's Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett?
He sure is. Well, how are you, Britt? What are you doing around here?
Oh, I'm just passing through, George.
Hey, Sheriff, ain't you never met up with the six-shooter?
No, can't say as I have. Heard about him, though.
And this here is Sam Bitley, Britt.
Oh, yeah.
Are they? You said something about expecting a sponsor.
Yeah. Art Hemper thought you'd be heading up this canyon.
Hemper?
What were you... You mean you ran into Art, Britt?
Early this morning.
Oh, doggone it. That's who we're looking for.
Yeah, he told me.
Well, did he tell you why?
Sure. Yeah, his brother was killed yesterday. You wanted for murder.
And you knew all that? You just let him go scot-free?
Well, what'd you expect me to do?
You could have brought him in, saved us the trouble.
Yes.
Well, I'm not a part of your posse, Sheriff. Besides, aren't willing to give himself up.
Give himself
what?
Up?
He says he didn't have anything to do with Clyde's death. The only reason he ran off is because you were talking about lynching him.
But, say, Britt, how you gone loco?
You didn't actually believe him, Ponson.
Well, I've known Art for a good many years, Sheriff.
Well, looks like we know him a little better than you do.
Yeah, I saw it, Britt, the whole thing with my own eyes. I saw the murder.
Now, hold on, George. Now, you didn't see it.
I tell you, I saw it. I was riding past the Hemper Ranch, and Clyde and Art were out behind the barn. They didn't notice me. They were too busy arguing and shouting. Then Clyde turned and started to walk towards the house. Well, Art pulled out his gun and shot him in the back. Clyde didn't even have a chance to draw.
Well, is that the truth, George?
As true as anything in this world. Well, I swung around, and I headed into town to get the sheriff. And that's when Art spotted me. He got off a couple of shots, but I was out of range.
Well, the story he told me is entirely different.
Well, that shouldn't surprise you too much, Ponson.
No, I guess not. What happened when you arrested him, Sheriff?
Well, we didn't arrest him.
No, we didn't.
Why do you think we're out here looking for him?
I see.
But he took off before I could bring the sheriff back. We picked up his trail and followed it into the canyon here.
And as for anybody trying to lynch him, well, there'll be no lynch law in Smoke Falls while I'm sheriff.
Well, that's good, Sheriff.
Yes, sir. And besides, ain't no need in his case. Any jury in the territory will convict him on the evidence.
Why, of course.
Yeah, well, it sure sounds that way, doesn't it? Well, Doggone it, I just don't know what to say, Sheriff.
Well, you aren't to blame for believing Art. You were a friend of his before he changed. You went around to see how mean he's got the last few months. Always picking on Clyde and making life miserable for him. As if it was Clyde's fault the old man left him everything.
Everything?
Well, sure. Ranch, cattle, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Yes, sir. I guess Jake Hemper knew Art wasn't any good underneath. Guess that's why he picked Clyde to inherit, even though he wasn't a blood relative.
Well, you gotta admit, there's one thing Art's good at.
Huh?
Lying. The way he fooled Britt Ponsett, he must be a pretty convincing liar. Well, you'll have to give him that much. Won't you, Britt?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give him that much.
We'll continue with James Stewart as the six-shooter in a moment, because I'd like to answer a question that so many of you have written in to ask. It's about our theme music on the show, And believe me, we like it too. It's called Highland Lament. But I'm sorry to say there's no way for you to obtain it to play in your own home. You see, all of our music has been recorded for broadcast only, and it simply isn't available in any form at your music store. But thanks for writing anyway. Your good letters are tremendously appreciated by all of us. Incidentally, while Jimmy Stewart is kept pretty busy with the six-shooter and his motion picture work, one of his happiest activities is keeping up with his twin daughters, Judy and Kelly, at home. There's a nice picture story of the Stewarts and their twins in the current issue of McCall's Magazine. Now, Act Two of The Six-Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, there wasn't anything else I could do but just tell Sheriff Vail the whole cock and bull story just the way Art had given it to me. I felt like crawling in a prairie dog hole. Oh, not just because Art had made a fool of me. It's more than that. We'd been pretty good friends once, all three of us. Art, Clyde, and me. Now Clyde was dead, and sooner or later Art would be brought in for killing him. If I wasn't so doggone gullible, it might have been a lot sooner.
Well, Rock, eh? It's only 3 or 4 miles. You must come by it.
Yeah, that's where he said he'd give himself up.
Oh, is that so?
Well, if he told you to wait for him there, you can be darn sure it's the last place he'll be. He's probably still up at the end of the canyon, trying to find the pass you come through.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we better ride on ahead. You want to come with us, Ponsett?
No, I think I'll head back for town.
Well, suit yourself. I left a couple of the boys along the way in case Hemper gives us a slip and starts backtracking. You might tell him to keep the eyes open, that we haven't caught him yet.
Yeah. All right, Sheriff.
Okay, George. Sam, come on, let's go.
Come on, boy.
Well, that's what I intended to do. Just head straight for Smoke Falls, but somehow I found myself turning around. I took it real easy, and then when I came to Squirrel Rock, I couldn't help pulling up. Whoa, 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 who's going? Whoa. It was just about noon. The sun was square in the middle of the sky. There sure wasn't any sign of Art Hemper either. Not that I really thought he'd be there, not after what I'd found out from the sheriff. I'd never looked at that rock real close before. It was a lot bigger than most of the other boulders along the way, but that was about the only difference. I couldn't figure why folks got the name. It sure didn't look much like a squirrel to me. It's big, though. Wasn't any doubt about that. If it had been a couple of feet wider, it had blocked the whole canyon. And I remember thinking to myself, a man could hide almost anywhere around there real easy. The only trouble was I didn't think of it soon enough.
Right on time, Britt.
Yeah. Yeah, so are you, Art.
You don't mind getting off your horse, do you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'd just as soon not.
Well, you better do it anyway. Keep those arms stretched way up high.
Uh-huh. All right.
Now, you can unbuckle your gun belt, but use only one hand, your left one.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
I guess you know I ran into Sheriff Vail.
Sure. I told you you would. Him and his boys come riding through here just a few minutes ago.
Didn't even stop, huh?
I must have figured I was up at the end of the canyon hunting the pass you come through.
Yeah. Art, George Crump says he saw you shoot Clyde.
Did, huh? Well, I didn't pick a very good time for it, did I?
You're not going to deny it again, huh?
You wouldn't believe me if I did. I already pressed my luck with you once today, Britt. I won't try it twice.
Why'd you kill him, Art? It wasn't Clyde's fault your father left him the property.
The ranch wasn't the real reason. I guess folks never will believe me, but... That wasn't the cause.
Well, what was the cause, then?
I can't even put it in words. I reckon I hated Clyde. I reckon I always hated him, but I didn't know how much until they read the will, until I found out how Pa really felt towards me. You see, I never had no mother. She died when I was born.
No.
It wasn't very long after that Pa married again and I had me a ready-made family. Oh, she wasn't like one of them stepmothers you read about in stories. She always tried to be fair and honest. Maybe that was it. Maybe she tried to be too fair.
Yeah, too fair?
Well, whenever I did something bad, never said a word to me. She waited till Pa come home and told him about it. I was his son, she said, and she didn't have no right to punish me. It was up to Pa to take down the razor strop and give me a whaling. Not that she was easy on Clyde. She wasn't. She saw to it that he towed the line. But he belonged to her. He was her responsibility. He got plenty of whippings, too, but it was her that gave it to him. I guess it don't sound very sensible, Britt, but there was times when I used to wish she'd care enough about me to, well, just slap me or give my ears a good boxing. But she never did. I was Pa's son.
Why, you couldn't blame Clyde for the way his mother acted toward you.
Oh, I didn't blame him. I didn't blame him. Not at first. I told myself we were even Stephen. He had a Ma and I had a Pa. That was fair enough. And whatever happened, I was Art Hemper. Britt, he wasn't even entitled to the same name, not by any rights. Once I asked Pa about that, I asked him why Clyde was calling himself Hemper. Real good tanning. That's the answer I got.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. All the time I was growing up, all the time until she died. I was kind of happy when it happened. I thought maybe now it'd be me and Pa again. I thought her being out of the way would sort of push Clyde to one side. Things didn't work out like I figured. Clyde and Pa, they mourned together. They seemed to be closer than before. So I told myself all I had to do was wait. I was Pa's son. Everybody knows when a man dies, it's your son that inherits. All I had to do was to wait. And then he did die. And I found out I'd been living my whole life on lies. I'd convinced myself that when the chips were down, Clyde wouldn't matter anymore. Pa'd realize I was his son, his only son. And then the day they read his will, I knew that I hadn't had a Ma and I hadn't had a Pa either. Clyde had had them both all the time. So I had to kill him. Maybe if he was dead, things would be different.
Art.
Stay where you are, Ponce.
Now listen, Art. Now listen to me. I think I understand what you're trying to tell me. Some of it, anyhow. And maybe you weren't exactly responsible for what you did to Clyde, but you've got to give yourself up.
Give myself up? For the first time in my life, I've got a reason for living. There's nobody standing in my way, nothing more.
There's a posse standing in your
way. They're past us now. They've gone up the canyon. I can ride out the Smoke Falls Gap without them even knowing.
The sheriff Vail's no fool, Art. He figured you might slip by him. That's why he left some men behind.
Well, they won't stop us, Britt.
Us?
Sure. You're taking me in town. I'm your prisoner. Of course, this gun of yours won't be loaded, but nobody's gonna know that. And nobody's gonna know I'm holding my own gun just inside my shirt. That nick you give me on the elbow, it's gonna come in real handy. All right, Britt. Here's a six shooter. Not that it'll be much use to you now.
Art brought his pony up from behind the rock and we started down the trail. In a way, I felt kind of sorry for him. But that didn't justify what he'd done. It didn't justify him getting loose and killing somebody else, maybe. We were getting close to the mouth of the canyon now, and trail kind of straightened out. I figured we ought to meet up with one of the sheriff's boys somewhere along about here. Be their last chance of stopping Art before we hit the flat country. Guess Art was figuring the same thing.
Hold your gun on me, Britt, like you were serious.
All right.
Don't try anything fancy.
We rode out for about 5 minutes more, and then I spotted him. A fellow leaning against the side of the canyon with a carbine across his arm. He must have been dozing, but when he heard us, he came awake fast, and the carbine swung around ready for business.
All right, hold up there. So you got him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I got him.
Who are you, mister? I didn't see you with the posse.
My name's Ponson, Britt Ponson.
Oh, sure, the six-shooter. Did he give you any trouble, Mr. Ponson?
No, not so far.
Well, where's the sheriff?
He's back a ways. He'll be coming along.
Well, maybe you ought to wait up here. We can all ride into town together.
Now, the sheriff said Ponson was to go on ahead.
Oh? That so, Mr. Ponsett?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, I guess you can take care of him. You ain't gonna need no help. Not with that gun of yours. I hear it's about the fastest shooting six gun ever been turned out.
Maybe you'd like to take a look at it.
Wait a minute.
Here, catch.
Are you crazy, Mr. Ponce, throwing your gun around like that? Why, if I wasn't covering Art there...
But you are covering him.
Huh?
Britt, I told you.
Look out, Ponce!
I was already diving for the ground. Art fired through his shirt. The bullet slid across the back of Scar's neck. Art didn't get a second chance. The carbine slugs tore into his chest and knocked him off his horse. He just lay there. He was bleeding bad.
Bridge.
Yeah?
There's something I got to tell you.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry I lied to you this morning. A man shouldn't lie. That's what my pa always said. And you were my best friend. Shouldn't have lied to you especially.
Well?
Besides, it didn't do me no good. It just goes to show you that lying don't pay. Pa used to whip me whenever I lied. I should have known better, Britt. I should have known that.
Well, if that don't take the cake.
What?
Not more than a minute ago, he tried to shoot you down. But now all he said was he was sorry he lied to you. What happens to a man like that, Mr. Ponce?
I don't know. I just don't know.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and it's written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Shepard Menken, Bill Johnstone, Frank Gerstle, and Howard McNear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.
That's it for this week's Relic Radio Show. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour of radio drama. And between now and then, you can visit relicradio.com. Find more shows from the series you heard today, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.